It's a work of heart, I like to call it. But there are times when, if I'm going to be completely transparent, there are times when I don't want to go. Can you imagine? And can you imagine hearing the brain say, I don't want to get on the plane. I don't want to go to another Marriott. I don't want to eat mishmash for 4 days. And then I remember, but I did say that I'd serve him and do whatever he wanted. And then it's really easy to get off that page and get back on where I belong, because this is what he has me to do. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. He put you too, didn't he? 1 Timothy 1:12 is where we live, right? So I've learned a really cool thing from my sister friend up here, Janice, my twinsie. I learned that you really need to go ahead and stick a day in the middle of the week where you don't have so much going on. Now, you don't erase church, but you erase the other stuff. You're not running to Walmart and running to the grocery store and trying to do all the laundry and clean the house. So when she told me she has that practice of having one shutdown day, I started stealing a page from her book. And it definitely is scriptural. It helps. When Jesus told the disciples to come apart because they didn't have even leisure to eat, I thought, oh, man, they must have been traveling for conferences. I was downstairs with a piece of cake. Yickety yak yak, yickety yak yak, yickety yak yak, yickety yak. And I'm frozen with the fork halfway in the cake. And then I never got done with that piece. I gave it to somebody to wrap up and went and got another one. I got two bites out of that one, and I was about to dust it off. I had a great big piece on the fork, and it came up the stairs, and it fell off the plate onto the floor. I'm so happy you feel sorry for me like that. If that isn't love. But don't tell Pastor Stephen somebody dropped a piece of cake on the carpet. I will deny it, even though it's on tape. All right. I want to say some thank yous, and then we're going to get into this closing lesson on endurance. We're on lesson number 3 out of this 3-part exercise series. But before I do that, I wanted to thank you for your orders at Keep the Heart. They started popping in right away last night. None of them had a time stamp that was during the lesson. That was really kind of you. Your orders support a small Christian business. And when you do that, small Christian businesses can continue to produce products that you're looking for. One of the number one requests I have is ladies' devotions or Bible studies or even just ladies' books on topics that are King James. If you're an aspiring writer, get going on it. There's not enough of them. And I'm only one person. You have a story too. I think of people like Molly, who I heard up here yesterday, and I know there's a book in that woman. So come on, Molly. Janice has a book in her. Cheryl could write stories about motherhood. War stories. She has boys. And one little rose amongst the thorns. Gracelyn is so beautiful. And then the boys are just so boy. They really are. But thank you for those orders. And we appreciate you coming to the shop. If you already own every book we have, please come to the shop anyway and buy gifts for your sister friends. It really does help, and actually proceeds go to the next project. The next book project is funded by what happens when you all come and buy books. So keep buying books, and we'll keep writing books. And then thank you for following us on Instagram and Facebook. And for those of you who subscribed at Keep the Heart, you're going to find out. You'll be the first one to know when something cool is going on at Keep the Heart. We do have a project we're working on right now that's sort of secret, but I did tell Hammond about it. So since I told Hammond, it's not a big secret anymore. But we are working on some online classes. The first one that we're working on is how to teach at ladies' conferences. And so if you subscribe to Keep the Heart, then you're going to be one of the ones who gets that notice when that class is going to go virtual online. And it won't be free. I told Hammond that too. I can't get my groceries for free. That's why I can't let you have my class for free. And I hope you know that in the ministry, things have a cost. So we appreciate it when people don't fuss if they have to pay $7 for something. So watch for that announcement. If you didn't subscribe at keeptheheart.com, you still can go and do that. The announcement won't go out for a little while because the writer and teacher's not home. If you did send a note to keeptheheart@gmail.com that said, I subscribed or I followed, your book is coming. Last night, the people who got their I subscribed, I followed, those who got their emails to us last night before bedtime, your books are already in your inbox. Anybody who did it after midnight, your books will be coming into your inbox later this afternoon. So free ebooks for anybody who follows us on Instagram or likes Keep the Heart on their Facebook Keep the Heart page, not the Francie Taylor page, by the way. Let me clarify. Francie Taylor only has a page on Facebook because they won't let you have a ministry page unless you also have a personal page. Francie personally wouldn't have any social media if she wasn't in the ministry. Because I like my people live. Electronic is really overrated, but it is part of the ministry and it is a tool. I do. I like hanging out with people. That's what, you know what I mean? That's what I'm talking about, Jelly Bean. I like to hang out together. But anyway, if you went to the Francie Taylor page and you said friend request, don't bother with all that. We're already friends. Leave that alone and go over to the Keep the Heart Facebook page and like that page, and you'll get weekly devotionals free on that page every week. So go there. And then I don't remember what I was saying before that. Was I saying something about, oh, no, I'm sorry, it's gone. And finally, the last thing, it'll come back to me, but it'll be 3:30 in the morning, and I promise not to call you. All right, the last thing I want to mention is the podcast. And for those of you who haven't been on a podcast because you're in the time zone of 50 or older, I don't want you to feel like you're out of the loop at all, because I listened to my first podcast in January before I flew here to Faith Music Radio for training on how to do a podcast. I knew they existed, but I hadn't listened to them. But my secretary said to me one day, I really wish you would pray about doing a podcast because my generation listens to them all the time. Boy, that hit me. I went back to prayer and I said, Lord, I'm really starting to sense you're bringing this up more than people. So then I talked to my friends, Janice and Dan, and they said, come on up. And the next thing you know, I was in boot camp for podcasting. And in 1 week, they got me whipped into shape and one episode on the air. Don't listen to that one. Because at the time, I didn't know what I was doing, and I can't account for how bad that one is. But I can say that now I'm trying to make sure that the podcast is worth your 10 minutes. I don't have hour and a half podcasts. And for people who do, it's a fine with them. That's a workout. I would do my treadmill, my elliptical, and lift weights in an hour and a half. But I have these sound bites so that it will just be enough, but I want to propel you back to your own study of the Bible. I don't want you focusing on what Francie has to say. I just want to kind of trigger a switch that'll make you want to study more. And so these podcasts have lessons like the number one on the list right now, because it actually ranks the order of the lessons in, and the number one on the podcast right now is, Are We Anything Like Judas? Janice, how odd, isn't it? I thought it was going to be always all about the women topics, but Are We Anything Like Judas blew to the top in the podcast list. I'll have to show you that later. It's astounding to me. I mean, I don't know. Close to a couple thousand people have downloaded that episode in a short span of time. I understand it when I think about the fact that the reality is a lot of people might be wondering some of the same things I wonder. Are there times when we're hypocritical? Are there times when we pretend that we're nicer than we are? Have you ever said something unkind about someone, but then when you saw them in person, you ran up and gave them a hug? Are we anything like Judas? I think you'll find that podcast to be worth 10 minutes. And then there are others on there, and here's the one that's making a meteoric climb right now, Overcoming Image Issues. I just posted that 2 days ago. It's already in the top 5. I know. It's also very telling. Overcoming image issues is a lesson that I taught at a workshop, and then I condensed it for the podcast. So another way to look at podcasts, our podcasts are like conferences to go in bite-sized pieces so that you can learn something, something valuable, something biblical, and then you can start even applying it, and then you can supplement it with your own study of Scripture. So if you were thinking, podcast, that's just another fluffy filler thing that girls are into now because they're always trying to play on the internet. No, actually, it's not. Podcasts have been around since 19-something. I did look it up. I forgot the details, though, because I can't tell you what I had for lunch yesterday, so I don't have to retain that information. But I just know podcasts didn't just start last year. They're old. But some of us, it went right by us. So I made all of that speech just to say this. If you've never listened to a podcast before, I'm asking you to tune in to Keep the Heart. Write this down. P-O-D-B-E-A-N. Podbean. I want you to go to Podbean. Follow the prompts. They'll tell you how to open up a Podbean free account. And then put in the search bar, Keep the Heart. And you'll know it's our podcast because Francie will pop up in a picture. And you'll know that that's us. And then just pick an episode, any episode. You can pick from a list. I don't know how many are in there now. Janice put 17 maybe? Yes. So you can pick anyone. Just don't pick the first one. I mean the trailer when I say that. I want a do-over on that trailer, but too late now. It's way out of the horse, out of the barn. Pick a lesson. Sit in a comfy chair and listen to it, or take a little walk around the house. It won't be a very long walk, though. I don't think I have an episode on there that's more than 15 minutes. And I think the shortest one may be 7 or 8 minutes. That's by design. When the Lord gives me a lesson, when it's done, I stop talking. And so you're going to find that they're all brief. And we also have a rule at Keep the Heart, and it's the 5B rule. Have you ever heard of the 5B rule? You look at me like you haven't. I'll teach you the 5B rule. This is going to be very helpful to you. Oh, look at all the pens and paper coming up for this. The 5B rule. Be brief, baby. Be brief. Deep and philosophical, I told him. All right. Okay, so that's all my housekeeping and all my thank yous. I wish I could convey, but the English language is too limited for me to convey how much I love coming here. I travel over 50,000 air miles a year, but this is one of my favorite places to come. Just hands down, Cheryl. Hands down. So thank you for having me, and thank you for coming. Let's open in prayer and get into this last lesson. Lord, I look around the room and it does feel like a family reunion. This is amazing. We've had a sweet time in you. You're so good to us to give us this time. Lord, I pray that you would bless and help us as we try to follow what you want us to follow. Anything you touch, Lord, as we go into this third lesson, even if it's not from the lesson, speak to our hearts and then give us that grace and that Holy Spirit power to yield to you. We're committing this closing lesson unto you now, asking you to please establish our thoughts. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we did WAIT, weight training. Then we went to strength training. Now we're into endurance training. Endurance training is so important if you want to finish something. Do we have any runners in the room? Whoa, put your hands higher. Yeah, you look like it too, all slim and stuff. Yeah, the runners can eat all that cake downstairs because then they go run it off ferociously. But you know what? Running a race takes training. So my husband and I, back in 2017, we were going to run a race. Did I tell you guys about that when I was here before? I told you about us running that, so I can't tell you that whole story again. But for those of you who didn't hear me teach, you didn't know about us running the Hot Chocolate 5K. We were running it, well, my husband was running it for a good cause, to raise money for the Ronald McDonald House. I was running it for raising money for the Ronald McDonald House and the free chocolate. I'm honest. Be honest in life. It's good to be real. So anyway, we ran that race, and after that race, I had told people here before how he said his bones hurt. His cancer was discovered after we ran that race, and the pain didn't go away because it wasn't pain from the race, it was pain from the cancer. But the one thing we did do is we trained differently, and I thought that that was interesting. He did some shortcuts on his training, and I thought actually that was part of why he hurt more. I took the training part very seriously. I was training 5-6 days a week because I didn't want to hurt afterwards. I thought, no, pay that bill in advance, then you can enjoy the race. But the training did require me to focus on continually repeating the same process, running so many minutes per day, because it was Minnesota winter when I was training, so I wasn't running outdoors. So I was running in the house. And no, we didn't even have a treadmill at the time. I ran through the house. I created a circuit and just ran through the house. Try it. You can do it too. If you have a house and it's winter, you'll appreciate it. But that training increased my endurance, and it made it possible for me to do something that I didn't think I would have otherwise been able to do, which is cross the finish line. I didn't want to run that race and then poop out halfway. That would have been no fun at all, and then they wouldn't have given me the bowl of melted chocolate at the end with the bananas to dip in it. You had to cross the finish line to get the chocolate. But what is endurance? Endurance is a bearing or suffering without sinking or yielding to pressure. A bearing or suffering without sinking or yielding to pressure. In other words, it's going through things that are hard without giving up. I didn't feel like training for the race every day, but I knew that if I was going to run the race, I'd be glad I did. So train, I did. But you know what? In life, we're going to have times when we're going to go through things that we feel like, you know what? You can't fire me. I quit. I don't want to do this anymore. Training is not pleasant. I think we have a mistaken notion about training in our heads. Training of any kind is not necessarily meant to be a pleasant activity. It's meant to be a teaching activity. So when God is training us, it isn't always going to feel good. Could we get okay with that? Because sometimes we're the issue. It's not what's going on. It's how we're responding to what's going on. You're in training, sister friend. You're in training right now. And something that you don't like is part of the training process. And something that you really would send back to Amazon if you could is actually part of building up your endurance for the things that lie ahead that you can't see and that I can't see. So endurance also includes patience, which helps us to go through things that have an unknown expiration date. We don't know how long. Don't you wish there was a phone number where we could dial it up and say, excuse me, is this heaven? Could I give a message? Could you ask the Lord how long this is going to go on? Because I was just wondering, if I could have the dry cleaning version, I'd like mine in by 10 and out by 4. Thank you. We can't. We can't do that. We don't know. We don't know how long something's going to go on in our lives. So the endurance continues as long as God wants it to. And we just need to keep training and keep letting him train us. God's endurance training prepares us and enables us to withstand the increasing demands of life. And life has increasing demands. Everybody in this room has something. Nobody escapes it. So whatever your something is that you know that I don't know, God is increasing your endurance. You just have to go along with him. You're going to find it so much better when you do. So open your Bibles to Philippians 3. And I hope you had your Bible reading this morning too. I keep saying this everywhere I go, but if you're not reading your Bible daily, please start simply. You don't have to, don't make it hard to your brain. When you think something's going to be hard, you get intimidated and you quit before you start. So if you've had a hard time reading your Bible daily, there's a couple different things you could do. Number one, you could use the Proverb a Day system. So what's the date today? The what? Good, I read the right proverb. So on the 24th, read Proverbs 24, and on the 25th, you read. There you go, and you just keep going. You've heard this before. It isn't really important what you've heard. It's important what you do. So if you're not reading your Bible daily, try this system, and you're going to be shocked to find out it takes you about 7 minutes. Could God have 7 minutes? I think he's worth more, so much more, and I know you do too. So this will be how you break out of that mold of not being in Scripture daily. If you are not a good reader, this is the digital age. Listen to your Bible. I personally like my eyes to go over the page, and I like to make myself pay attention that way. But I'm not going to get snobby about this. It's not my call. You and the Lord meet. There's the goal. Would you like to hear your Bible rather than read your Bible? There are some people who don't have a choice. So you do what it takes, but pull out all the stops, because I promise you, this is urgent. Being in the Word is urgent. This lesson in endurance is going to require you being in the Word. The Word is your trainer. Let's read Philippians 3, verses 13 through 14 together out loud. If you're there, ready, begin. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I press. That's like bench pressing. This is work. This is vigorous activity here. And God doesn't want us to be these girls who can't take it. No matter what stage of life you're at, no matter what time zone you're in your life, there's something that you're going to need endurance for. And so we're going to study in this closing lesson four things about endurance. Number one, endure being unpopular, but don't cause it. Yes, endure being unpopular, but don't cause it. Now, we're looking at Mark chapter 13, verses 12 through 13, where Jesus is warning them how the times will be. And it sounds very much like the times that we're in. No surprise there. Now, the brother shall betray the brother to death, and the father the son, and children shall rise up against their parents. That hurts. And shall cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. He that shall endure unto the end. So we've got some things to go through, sister friends, and we need to really suit up in our armor for this, because this is not light play here. We're living in the midst of a really strange generation. And we need to be ready with our answers and our proper responses rather than so many reactions. If you're reactionary, could you trade that, please? It misrepresents Christ. He was meek and lowly. That was not a weak man. That was one of the strongest men that was ever on earth. Because he really could have called 10,000 angels, but he didn't even need them. He could have blinked and made everybody disappear who was trying to crucify him. He gave his life. They never took it. But he demonstrated to us meekness and lowliness. And we're the maddest and loudest I've ever heard. And it's not representing him right. I hurt when I think about some of my loved ones that are still not believers. Does that make your soul ache? I hope it makes your soul ache, because otherwise what's happening is we're becoming gospel callous. We're not thinking about the gospel anymore. We're thinking about our rights and ourselves, and we want things to go the way we want them, and this place is so wicked, and this is all, it's all the fault of the administration, and it's all this, and it's all that. Now, flip your ears over for a second and listen to that like an unbeliever. I'm telling you, we're at great risk, and the risk isn't what's going on in Washington. The risk is what's going on in you and I. If we become cold to souls, which this whole last year was really good training for that, distance yourself, mask yourself. What's one of the things you miss most? Facial expressions. I can't tell you how beautiful you look to me. I get to see your whole face. I'm not making light of the fact that we just had a virus sweep through and take many lives. I lost a loved one too. But what I am saying is I don't want to lose love for people. And I'm afraid that's going to happen if we're not careful with how we're thinking and what we're reading and what we're sharing with each other, what we're forwarding to one another. There's a couple key things I've noticed that are being heavily fed to people over the past year. One of them is fear. And the other one is despair. It's never going to get any better, so we might. Wait a minute. We know that those who live in Christ Jesus are going to suffer persecution, but that doesn't mean that we're going to live in total misery. That's not Bible. They were singing in jail. In Philippians. So where is all this gloom and doom coming from? I'll tell you. You already know. The enemy wants Christians to become so gloomy, so negative, so sad, so constantly attacking and fighting back and trying to be all vocal in a wrong way. He wants that because he knows that in the midst of all that, we'll forget all about souls. We'll forget all about them because we think we're defending something. God doesn't need puny old us. He wants us to do what he asked us to do. Ambassadors is what he wants. Not girl wrestlers. So when's the last time that you talked to somebody, masked or not, about the gospel? If you're so busy and so hung up on fighting about all these little distracting details of what's going on in this pandemic stage, you're going to miss out on having an opportunity to introduce somebody to Christ who maybe was seeking until they heard something come out of your mouth that didn't edify the Lord. Endure being unpopular, but please don't cause it. Some of the people who are closest to us have the greatest potential to cause us pain. But you still don't want to become unpopular. Now, I'm not saying you're in a popularity contest. I'm saying represent Christ correctly. Meekness and lowliness are the makeup that are supposed to be part of our fabric if we're copying Christ. So do you have a family member attacking your faith? Well, get in line and take a number. I don't know anybody who has 100% of their family saved. I've never met someone. If you're out there, you're a rare breed of cat. Most of us have unsaved loved ones. If an unsaved loved one of mine tuned into a conference, I wouldn't want something I said to be the reason why they will not believe. And I'd appreciate it if you'd live like that too, because you might cross paths with somebody who's related to me. So how are you handling some of these current events? Do you know sometimes people need to do one thing with current events? Talk about them privately and talk about them a lot less. Because God's really the only one who can do anything about the turmoil we see going on anyway. You know what somebody said to me? Now I'm down to the personal girl level now. Is that okay? You got your coffee? It better not be in here. But here's the thing. Sometimes people say to me, Francie, because you're black, you should address these racial issues. Now, could I just flip that around and say, because you're white, you should address whatever current event I want to name. Does that make sense to you? No. So when you notice that someone who's a certain color, who's a Christian, is not vocal, think about it like this. Maybe that's on purpose. Maybe it's by design. Do you know what my marching orders are? He didn't tell me to talk about the tension. He didn't tell me to. If God said to, I'd say, aye, aye, Captain, and I'd obey him right away. But do you know what's behind the tension? I want to sit down on the floor and say, when are we going to get this? What's behind all the tension is no Christ. Okay, so if that's right, then are you going to tell somebody? I got a bead on the maids at the hotel, because maids at the hotel, I like to make friends with those people. They work really, 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 really hard. Besides, it's nice if somebody in the hotel knows you're there, they might look out for you. But did you stay in a hotel and forget to leave a tract? We have some amazingly simple tract opportunities that we pass by. But we invest all kinds of energy in this fussing and fighting and talking about things that, but then we're becoming hard. You don't want to be that. You don't want to be that, because you're going to go to bed your age and you're going to wake up 20 years older and you're going to be crusty hard. Don't stay in that spot. Realize that we're going to be unpopular already because of Christ, but don't make it that way on purpose. The Bible tells us, ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. It should only be for that. It shouldn't be because you're so mouthy and you're so critical and opinionated and you're trying to make everybody agree with you, which is absolutely not going to happen. Let's back up and be biblical, shall we? Matthew 10:16 says, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. There's your goal under number one. Be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Number two, endure afflictions. Endure afflictions. 2 Timothy 4:5 tells us this, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. Now, when this was written in Timothy, this was an instruction. But it's still beneficial for us as well, because all scripture is given by inspiration of God. This is profitable for all of us. Here's a fascinating thing, though. But watch thou. That translates into be calm and collected in spirit. Does that describe you? If that doesn't describe you, mark it down as a life goal, that you would be calm and collected in spirit in the Lord. People who are calm are so pleasant to be around. You just can't get them in a foamy lather. You just can't. You can shake them like a soda bottle and they're just not going to fizz because they're flat in a good way. Make full proof of thy ministry, Timothy, and all the rest of you who are going to read the scripture afterwards, make full proof of your ministry. What is your ministry? Well, there's one thing we all share. Our ministry is the gospel. We're the ambassadors. We've got a job to do. Now, I'm going to say something about this, and it keeps getting woven in here. I promise you, this is how the Lord does things, because if you saw my notes, you wouldn't see this in there. But here's the thing. If you're gospel presentation shy, didn't we just hear about it yesterday from Susan? And Susan strikes me as a very unassuming, very, very reserved person who wouldn't throw herself out there. I've met some people that are just boisterous and, you know, they're just Amy Sapp types. And I would expect that she wouldn't be shy about sharing anything with anyone. But if you're more of that kind of person where, Francie, I hear you and I feel for you, but I can't reach you, I'm not going to do it. Yes, you can. Let me give you a great idea. Make sure you get permission from your pastor and this is approved first. But ask your pastor if it's okay if you start sending notes, just a simple note, to everyone in your neighborhood. My husband used to run this called the Fishers of Men Mailing Ministry. Our church did this for years. The note is not a personal note. It just says, I'm your neighbor. I'd love it if you'd be my guest at church. You stick the track in there. You sign it with your name. You pop it in the mail. You don't go deliver it to the door. Let the mailman do that. You pay for a stamp. You buy the cards. The cards all look the same. Don't buy anything too girly. And don't buy anything that has weird sayings on it. This is not your personal statement. This is an invitation to church. This is not something you do without your pastor's permission either. But the pastor might decide he likes it so much that he'll print cards and start giving them and let you guys come get the cards from the church office and then just send them out. But be creative is what I'm really trying to say. Whatever you can do to get the gospel into somebody's hands, whatever you can do, do that because that's fulfilling your ministry. And then if the Lord asks you to do something else in the ministry, don't be this person who's always saying no. I podcast to fulfill the ministry that the Lord has given me. It's now woven in to keep the heart as part of the ministry. It wasn't part of the ministry this time last year. But part of the reason why it wasn't part of the ministry this time last year is because somebody was chicken. And it wasn't you. Janice talked to me about this a long time ago. And I think she probably just about had given up on me. In a nice way. She'd still have coffee with me. But I was pretty much a hopeless case. Have you ever told the Lord you couldn't do something? You're probably holding back. I was. Stop it. When you say whole heart, mean whole heart. So what does he want? What is he asking you to do? Let him have your whole heart. And even if it makes you a little nervous or a lot nervous, give him that too. That's okay because he sees your knees knocking anyway. He knows. He'll go with you on this. But endure afflictions. That's fulfilling your ministry. Under enduring afflictions, you'll want to make this note. Learn to suffer without complaining. That's more than a notion. Because even if you can keep your mouth shut, how many of you have a noisy head? Those thoughts, they can bang around in there and cause all kind of racket. But our first reaction to suffering is carnal. We do have a human nature. We are going to respond like that. But our next reaction can be in the spirit if we'll allow God to train us. So go from being upset to accepting that God has allowed this. I was so furiously angry. Can you imagine me furiously angry? You can't imagine it? Let me see if I can't make you imagine it. I was so furiously angry I could have spit tacks across the room. And I had a target. I was angry with oncology. Furious to a point of no return because they told me, the oncologist looked right at me and said, Mrs. Taylor, don't look nervous like that. Your husband's going to be around a long time. And then we're called into the office weeks later and they're saying, whatever you are going to do, do it quickly. I wanted to scream, wait a minute. I was in the same office when you told me that he was going to be here a long time. But I couldn't even talk. I felt like somebody punched me and all the air came out. I was stunned. And that stunned morphed slowly into rage. And in my mind, I was screaming, you lied to me. And it was a bad place. It was an ugly, dark place. I went into a very ugly, dark place. And I parked there a little while. I was in that place for several weeks. Maybe that doesn't sound long to you, but when that's not somebody's normal way of operating, that's a very long time to be in the dark. I was not recognizable as Francine. I wasn't fit to be around people. I needed my husband to call me on it. He needed to remind me that the God that I talk about all the time was still the same God, that he hadn't broken anything, that he hadn't made any mistake whatsoever, and that he was going to take better care of me than Norman did. Norman took stellar care of his wife. But I had to come out of that dark spot, and if you're in a dark spot, you've got to come out of there too. You can't stay there. It's not where we belong. So give whatever that is that has you so upset or so angry in your spirit or so even downhearted, give it to the Lord. Just turn it over. Just turn it over and be respectful in your tone when you do. Afflictions are hardships and troubles that teach us valuable lessons. But it's really hard to learn if we're angry or complaining. It stunts our hearing. You know, we have an entitlement mentality that we have to battle against too. And this is the final thing I'm going to say under number two. Be careful about entitlement. It's a mentality that because I did everything right and we are good Christians, we shouldn't be going through this. A mom said this to me once. We put our kids in Bible college. They were at every camp. They went to every special meeting. We had them in Christian school. We had them in every youth conference. How could they not be walking with God? How could this be happening to us? I thought if we did everything right, that they were going to turn out right. Well, there's a soda machine mentality, if I've ever heard one. I put in my quarter. Where is my soda bottle? Kids aren't like that. These are individuals with souls. Have we not read the Old Testament? They had trouble with their kids too. They had a lot less distractions than we do. Go back and study. My word, people have had trouble with their kids since the Garden of Eden, the first two kids. But we've got to be careful that we have this entitlement mentality because I'm doing everything I'm supposed to do. I shouldn't have trouble. That's not what the Bible says. No, actually, the opposite is what it says, that if you're walking with God, yes, you're going to suffer. There will be persecution. There will be hard times. But God is so beautiful at buffering it that sometimes you're in a hard time and you don't even realize it because you're trained in endurance. And people who are trained in endurance are like soldiers. They might be in the midst of something that would flatten us, but they're trained for it. Don't you want to have that kind of training? Where you can endure hard things and you don't even really realize how hard it was till you get out on the other side and say, phew, I'm a little tired. And it's because God enabled you to go through and endure. This is God's training going on. So endure the afflictions. And younger women, let me say something to you that's just a reminder. You are becoming the woman you will be in old age. So little note to you who are younger. Be careful about allowing yourself to be salty and snarky and have a little attitude. You know, in the beginning, you can get away with bloody murder if you're cute enough. Cute wears off really fast. And then it won't cover you anymore. So you're going to go to bed 23, you're going to wake up 63. If you're young and you're allowing yourself to be moody and salty, you're headed for old, crabby and tart. Just want to warn you, you're becoming. Be careful what you're becoming. So things that tempt us to complain are really just endurance training exercises. Number three, and I hope you're not taking lots of notes. I hope you're remembering what I said yesterday. Just write down your this. Fill in the blanks, yes, but don't try to take notes on everything I say. Endure hardness like a soldier. And this is very simply found in 2 Timothy 2:3, where it says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You know what happens? We forget our job descriptions. So as soldiers, we've got to match our thinking to our job descriptions. That means that we're servants. We take the orders. We don't give them. I think we prefer giving them, don't we? Yes, how many controllers are in the room? Don't raise your hand. I saw that, Dina. I had to glue mine to my backside. We mistakenly blame people for hard things. But listen to me. They're not the hard thing. That's the training. So the next time you have a run-in with someone, remember that this is a test. You may have one today. Some of you have long car rides. But whatever it is, it could be when you walk through the door at home, too. You could be faced immediately with a people test, and you could be tempted to feel like, they're so irritating. Wait a minute. It's training again. Again. God is always training us. We mistakenly blame people for hard things, but these are the boot camp experiences that God uses as training tools in our lives. And if he allowed it, no matter how hard it is, he can help us endure it. He can enable us. Now pay attention to your interactions with people. From here forward, pay attention. And instead of focusing on what you think they did wrong or what you think they said wrong or what you don't like about them, focus on your response. And make sure it's a response and not a reaction. It's a game changer, sister friends. It really changes how life goes when you stop looking at people as everybody's got an issue but you. We really have to back away from these mentalities that are wrong, totally wrong. Endure that hardness. Stop looking at people as problems and see them as tests. Now, the Lord is giving our orders, and he has made our cause and our purpose clear, which is the gospel. But you know that it's harder than ever to share the gospel? Because this world has been trained, and they're actually being programmed and not realizing it, to reject everything to do with God. This is courtesy of the prince of the power of the air. Stop looking at people like it's their fault. Don't you remember what it was like to be an unbeliever? I do. I didn't know that I was having propaganda shoved down my throat. I just knew that I had the mindset, don't you shove your stuff down my throat. Meanwhile, they're shoving their stuff down my throat. It just depends on what you want to eat, huh? Try to soften your mentality towards those who don't know Christ. If you can't remember what that was like because you've been saved for so many decades you don't remember, just try to remember this. A lot of people don't know. They've not heard. It's been hidden from them by this agenda of the enemy to keep this world in the dark so that they can go into a lost eternity. This is war, sister friends, and it's not us against them. It's the evil one against God. And we're soldiers. So get creative, soldiers. You heard me say it yesterday. Come up with however many different ways possible to give the gospel. Did I tell you about the Easter cake? I have to look to Janice for verification because she knows about my senile ways, and so she'll make sure that I don't repeat myself. I made two cakes at Easter, two lemon sour cream pound cakes. And I didn't really need them. It was because somebody had been staying at my house and they left a bunch of groceries in the fridge, and I knew I was going on this traveling streak, so I was baking those groceries down real fast. And so I made two sour cream pound cakes because there was a bunch of sour cream in the fridge. So sour cream lemon pound cakes, big, beautiful. They had a beautiful crown. They were just, am I making you hungry? You shouldn't be. You had cake already. But anyway, I looked at those two cakes and then I started to chuckle and I thought, ah, ha, ha. Yeah, I know. Do you and the Lord have chuckles every now and then? Like, I know, Lord. I know. Okay. So I wrapped it pretty. I put it on a giveaway dish where they don't have to bring you the dish back. An invitation to church attached to it, and then I go across the street to the neighbor. And they didn't have anywhere to go for Easter, and they declined this time, but they said, maybe we'll go next time. Now, you know why they declined? Because of COVID. The propaganda machine tells them you can't go in a church. Don't start, I hear you. I told you, I've been trying to tell you this whole lesson. Don't go there. Don't go there, get you ugly. Stay out of that zone, stay off of that aisle. We know, I know, you know, just shh. We know, we already know. So then if you're not gonna do the cake, then maybe you'll find out what those birthdays are of the people that are always so nice to you that live next door or across the street or one door over. And then you'll come over with a gift card and a track in an envelope inside a birthday card. Looks so natural. It's so normal to give somebody a birthday card. But then when you put a gift card in there, you suddenly become their friend. You cross a great divide. And then the track's going to get read because tracks that have something inside of them always increase the reading comprehension. Just try that and see if you see. That's why tracks get read in hotel rooms. And I don't know about you, but I actually have had people come to church with me out of town from the hotel. It's probably one of my favorite stories, but I can't tell you now because we're almost out of time. But I can tell you that it was a result of creativity and leaving love notes every day for the hotel staff. And when I say love notes, it was a tract with the gospel, carefully chosen, not a weird-looking tract, no ugly things. Don't do those tracts that look scary, please. You're not going to get them read. They're going to think you're weird. They're not coming to your church because they'll think your church is weird too. So carefully choose tracts that are thoughtful and then stick a good tip in there. What's a good tip for a hotel person? It should at least buy them lunch. They maybe didn't bring lunch with them that day. You leave that and you never know. I got notes on my bed every single day while I was in this hotel where I was staying. They'd leave a note, thank you for that gift. And the last note said, on my day before I was going to leave, I'd love to come to church with you. Man, I was dancing around that hotel room, busting moves. Okay, was really spiritual dancing. Was very, very happy dance. David danced, happy dance. Could you imagine this happy dance, Sheila? Yo, okay, Sheila's got moves, and I saw her bust them. I love me some Sheila Snyder, because she's like, that's my sister without a suntan right there. That's my girl. That's my girl. Yeah. So this lady came to church with me, and here's the rub of all rubs. She didn't speak English. No hay problema porque yo puedo hablar español. Es mi segunda lengua. Entonces estamos bien. Thank goodness. She did speak Spanish, otherwise I'm up a river with no paddle. But she sat next to me, and a translator sat on the other side of her because we were in English church, and I'm not that good. I can hold conversation, and I can share the gospel in Spanish because it is my second language. But I can't translate when pastors start saying stuff that's not in my brain. Some of the words don't exist in Spanish, and so you need a translator to make up those words. But the translator sat there. The maid sat there. I sat there. We're sitting all close like we've known each other for years, you know? This was before social distancing. And at the end, the translator went through the gospel. I just kind of poked in every now and then. She trusted Christ that day. And do you know that years later, as in just last year, she sent me a thank you note through that church. Then I sent her a gift. Let's keep it going, you know? I sent her Teachers of Good Things, Elements of Christian Womanhood, in Spanish. She sent me another note. I'm telling you that the gospel is so much more normal and so much more natural than we treat it. Could we bring it back down to planet Earth? I'm really, really, really trying to encourage you to take every opportunity you have and pull out all the stops and get creative about the gospel again. We only have this much more time. Three blanks. That's about how much more time we have. Here's another idea. Give a Bible to someone who lost a loved one. It's happening all around us. We've had a dramatic increase in deaths to a point where funeral homes don't have enough caskets. The pandemic did that. The Lord the Lord has a teaching tool going on here, but at the same time, there was a great deal more to this than met the eye. We don't even understand it all. We really don't. But we do know that a lot of people lost loved ones. Put a Bible, a tract, and a grocery gift card together as a package. And then you be that loved one. You be that friendly person who takes it to someone who you know is still not a believer and has lost a loved one. Or maybe they're a believer and they haven't been to church in a long time. Minister, this is what we're here for. Oh my goodness, you can't even imagine how important this is for us as soldiers. Is it hard to share? Yes, but endure hardness as a good soldier. Smooth seas don't make skilled sailors. That's how the saying goes. So hardness makes us better. And finally, number four, endure for the benefit of others. Endure for the benefit of others. 2 Timothy 2:10 says, therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It's about the gospel. Really, I just keep saying that. So let me urge you to do this. Endure leaving your comfort zone so that someone else can be saved. Are we willing to greet visitors at church? I told the story last week in Hammond about how I was a visitor in Pensacola, Florida in 2018. And when I walked into my first church service there, the people who opened the doors greeted me, but nobody in the auditorium did. The auditorium probably had about 6,000 people in there. But there's a reason why. See, first of all, many of them were students. And come on, go back to your student head. Did you walk up and say hi to people when you were a student? I'm giving them a pass. But there were church family in there, and adults and faculty and staff and lots of other people. And it wasn't that they were being unkind. Let's not attribute unkindness where it doesn't belong. They didn't see me. Literally. They were talking to each other, laughing with each other, hanging with each other, homegirling it with each other. Come on, don't we all do that? But I was having the hardest Sunday of my life because I didn't realize how hard it would be to go to church without my Norman in a strange state. It was hard enough back in Minnesota. But now I'm thinking, okay, you went from ultimate brave girl to ultimate crazy because I don't even think you can do this. And I was frozen in that auditorium, and then I just started to cry. And it was so buzzy and busy in there that I was able to cry with nobody seeing it. Could somebody walk into your church this Sunday and be so overwhelmed when they look at all the strangers that they could actually turn and go back out the door and you didn't even know they were there? I was going to go back out the door, but the Lord wouldn't let me. If it weren't for the Lord, there'd be a lot of things Francie would do wrong. But the Holy Spirit wouldn't let me get away with that little shenanigan, so I had to go sit down and wipe my eyes and sit through that first service. I didn't have to sit through another one alone. Word got out that I went to church by myself, and it didn't happen twice. They made sure, the staff there, they made sure that I had people to eat lunch with, people to go home with on Easter, all kinds of stuff. But it still was a memorably hard Sunday. Do you know that tomorrow somebody might come in your building, and they're really trying to see if they could make this church thing be part of their life? And if what they walk into is a bunch of strangeness or a bunch of clicky-looking stuff or it looks like they walked in and busted somebody else's family reunion and they're not supposed to be there, like, you crashed my party, why are you here? They're probably not going to come back. And we're still on duty, so we can't have that. Will you be a Hawkeye tomorrow? Will you be a Hawkeye on that door? You're not the usher, I know. You're not the greeter, maybe. I get that. But would you be watching for somebody that you might invite to come? Hey, if I came to your church tomorrow, would you let me sit in your row? Because chances are I'd be all by myself. So somebody who doesn't maybe look exactly like me, but is another Francie, would you go and ask them, would they like to sit in your row? This makes a difference. This is part of our ministry. This is enduring for the benefit of others. And finally, invest time in others to help them grow in Christ. There are some people that are in your circle that would love to have a mentor, would love to have someone spend some time with them in Scripture. Would you be there for them? Would you be that to them? And some of you are already doing it. But if you haven't done that before, would you pray about it and consider being a mentor to someone else? I love when young college girls or the graduate students, I love when they text me or email or write to me. They want someone to tell them the truth, but they don't want a steamroller rolled over them. And so this is a forming of friendships that then become iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. One of my favorite emails is when the college GAs write to me and say, can we come over for dinner? We'll bring dessert. They usually bring multiple desserts. So the answer is always yes. But they love my masticcioli. I make a masticcioli and garlic bread. It's like lasagna, only cheesier. And I mean, I lay it out, and those girls eat like there's no tomorrow. And then they tell me that it makes them feel like they're at home again, which makes my heart warm. And then they sit there after dinner and bounce the questions. Would you be that? Would you open your home like that? You'd be amazed the difference you may make in someone's life. You have no idea who's in your circle of influence, but you could make a huge difference if you'd just be willing to give of that time so that you're enduring for the benefit of others. Everything that we're doing in this life should be about others, less about us. He must increase. I must what? There you go. Well, consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. That's what it says in Hebrews 12:3. The vehicles that God uses in our lives are often not the ones we would choose, but we wouldn't trade the outcome either. Have you ever heard somebody say, I'm so tired of these great muscles? God is really trying to build some muscle into us. You won't be tired of it. You'll be really glad that he did what he did. He'll teach you how to wait on him, and he'll increase your patience in the process. He'll allow hard events to increase your strength. And finally, he'll teach you how to endure hardship without quitting. All of these things are so that we'll magnify him better as his servants. Let's sing a song in closing. Who's on the piano? Who's a quick pianist? Do you know It Is Well With My Soul? All right, Maria, would you come and would you be soprano? Can I be alto? Or else I'm bass. Yes. Yeah, get a mic and come over here. Okay, so alto, soprano, what's the other part? Where's your daddy? Okay, I heard your voice appearing on a mic right away, Mr. Brother Chamberlain, Mr. You, with that butter voice. I don't know how come I didn't know he sang like that, but I guess I've only heard him sing a couple few times. That was beautiful. Okay, Papa sang bass. All right, and then I don't know what key it is it's in, but the key of low. Okay, now are the words on the screen? We're only going to sing this one verse, but I want you to think about the words as we sing this. Give us a little introduction there, Miss Pianist. Sing out, really from your heart.
When he is like a river.
Before I pray, as your heads are bowed and as your eyes are closed, this is going to be the time that I'm going to turn over to Janice. And there's going to be an opportunity for you to bow and pray in your spot or to come to the altar if you want to make your decision there. But this is your time of committing your this to the Lord so that he can start working his transforming work in your heart and your life. Janice will speak to us and close us in prayer.